New Hampshire Public Radio News. It's now 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The coming of summer is marked by graduations, gardening, vacation plans, and for many of us, putting together that summer reading list. Whether you're taking books along to the beach, mountains, or just in your own backyard, there's no shortage of choices. Today, joining us once again for our annual Summer Book Show are two of New Hampshire's indie booksellers to talk about what's been flying off their shelves, which upcoming titles are most anticipated, and what the trends seem to be in this year's best beach reading. And let's hear from you this hour. What new books are you hoping to read this summer? What authors' latest offerings are you interested in? Or do you need a recommendation from our guests to find that perfect summer read? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or send a comment to our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. Our guests are Dan Chartrand and Michael Herman. And Dan and Michael, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for being here.
It's great to be here.
Great to be here. Good morning.
I also want to let everybody know that all the books that we talk about this hour, whether on Dan and Michael's lists or that just come up in our conversation, will be put on our website, nhpr.org, plus links to reviews and a whole lot more. So again, nhpr.org, you can find a lot more there. And I'll start with you, I think, Dan. Best top, we used to do top 10 lists. Now we're just doing more like top 30 and just books we love. But maybe just give us our top two for the summer. What's really popular this summer, Dan?
Well, our staff really, their recommendations really drive sales. And, you know, I think our top two in our store are probably, well, there's a follow-up to Art of Hearing Heartbeats by Jean-Philippe Sendecar. Our bookseller, Jean-Paul, has sold over 700 copies of the first book, Art of Hearing Heartbeats.
700 copies for a small bookstore like yours.
It's quite an accomplishment by Jean-Paul. The follow-up, A Well-Tempered Heart, is being celebrated by the publisher by sending the author from Germany to our store.
Really? So later, give us the names again, Dan, just in case.
So Jean-Philippe Sendecar wrote Art of Hearing Heartbeats, and the follow-up is A Well-Tempered Heart, and that's probably one of our top-selling books on the fiction side. On the nonfiction side, we're big fans of a book by Marjorie Heffron, who was an independent scholar. She has written Louisa Catherine, The Other Mrs. Adams, and it's a remarkable story of an independent scholar deciding at the end of her life that she was going to focus all of her efforts on telling the story of John Quincy Adams' wife, Louisa Catherine. She was an Exeter resident. This book has been so well reviewed in the New York Times, the New Yorker, New York Review of Books, an independent scholar who really just created an amazing work pretty much on her own with the support of a biographers network that was based in Boston. So it's a great publishing story. Sadly, she's not here to celebrate the publication of her book, but it's an amazing nonfiction work of history and biography.
Well, and NPR's Cookie Roberts has done a fair bit of writing about the founding mothers, and I read one of her books, and Louisa Adams was featured in that book, and she was an incredible person. I mean, just her energy and all she did, so that sounds great. How about you? Top two or three for us, Michael?
Well, it's funny because our best-selling fiction is still The Goldfinch, which is still carrying on strong since last fall. You know, and it's kind of a mixed bag. There's no strong standout in fiction for us. There's a few that we need to mention. There's Euphoria by Lily King. The new Stephen King, Mr. Mercedes, just dropped yesterday, just hit the front tables in bookstores across the country, and we expect that to be big. We expect Chris Bohjalian's new book, Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands, which is coming in July, to be a big book for the summer.
Chris Bohjalian, a Vermont author, yep, and yeah, beloved by public radio audiences.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but there's a lot of great fiction out there right now. There's a lot of great nonfiction. One of our bestsellers in nonfiction is The Boys in the Boat, which is the story of nine Americans and their quest for gold in the 1936 Olympics. And if you're getting some echoes of Unbroken there, that's kind of this year's, this summer's Unbroken for people that are looking for the next read there. It's a story of working class kids who get together and, you know, thwart Hitler's designs to to show his superiority in the 1936 Olympics. It's a good story, and it just actually came out in paperback, and I'm sure it still had legs in hardcover. I bet the publisher's kind of kicking themselves a little bit not to give the hardcover an extra couple of weeks and let it go through Father's Day. But right now it's out there in both hardcover and paperback. So that's been a strong seller for us.
I want to ask you, Michael, about Euphoria by Lily King. Both mm-hmm. you and Dan have that on your lists. As usual, there's just a tiny bit of overlap between the two of you, and that's great. That means more books. But what about Euphoria, Michael? Why is this grabbing people so much?
It's just strong writing. She's a beloved writer in the New England bookselling community. She's from Maine. She wrote Father of the Rain, which was a NEBA, New England Booksellers award winner, and this is just a strong story, and I'm surprised nobody's ever told this story before, because it's based on a true story of Margaret Mead back in the 30s, and you know, it's got science, it's got romance, it's got intrigue, it's got danger, and with in Lily King's hands, it has strong writing. So that's going to be a top seller for us for the summer. And as with as Dan was saying, the publishers are touring some of their strongest authors. I think we said that off the air before we started. I'm sorry. But you know, and Lily King is coming to see us in August, and we're really going to enjoy celebrating that book.
Wow, the dog days of August, and you're having a big event.
Yeah, all year long.
Lily's actually coming to both of our stores because there are booksellers at both of our stores who have been strong patrons of her work and recommending them to our customers. Here's what Stephanie has to say about Lily King's book. Easily one of my favorites of the year so far. Lily King is a great writer. She is a master at dialogue. Her characters just pop off the page, and her writing is just adorned enough. Not so much that she's showing off, just enough to make you pause and reread her sentences with a measure of admiration and appreciation. She's a great writer.
When you find yourself rereading sentences, that's when you know you're in good hands.
Because they're so beautifully written.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, and I neglected to mention at the beginning, your bookstores are Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, and Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. The number for you to join us here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. It's our summer book show. We're looking at some of the best reads to take to the beach or take on vacation this summer. And let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Give us a call if you're looking for a recommendation to take on vacation with you this summer. Or if you've heard about an author and his or her latest offerings caught your interest, you want to know a little bit more, give us a call. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Dan, both of you were mentioning events at your bookstore. And I've noticed, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, that it isn't just the local authors doing events at our local bookstores anymore. You're getting the big names.
Both Michael's and my store, as well as other stores in New England especially, where there's such a strong network of independent stores, are seeing a significant sort of refocusing of attention by the major publishers on the independent bookstores. Part of the way they're refocusing is they're sending top flight brand name authors and authors that they'd like to be brand names into our store. So a great example of this is that Penguin has sent us Joelle Dicker, who is a European author, who's written a book called The Truth About the Harry Caybert Affair. And sort of set in New Hampshire, but they really want this to become a national bestseller. And they chose our store, Water Street Bookstore, as the launching platform for this book in New Hampshire and New England. And Michael can cite numerous examples of similar things happening in his store over the past year. So we're really seeing the publishers nurturing the independent channel, the independent bookstore channel, because they really see it as their future. And it's having a remarkable impact on our stores in that not only are these events better attended, but the events with the more local authors, there's a spillover and those events are better attended as well. Our attendance numbers at our author events are off the charts so far this year. And it's a combination of factors of the publishers refocusing and the audience in our market area saying, yes, this is something we want to do. We want to read in community. And the way to read in community is to attend your local independent bookstore's author events.
Well, and I've been impressed, Michael, at some of the big names who've come through, because in years past, you know, they'd rather go to Boston, they'd rather go to Atlanta, they'd rather go to Chicago or San Francisco.
Well, they're going to go to those places anyway. But I think publishers, as Dan said, are realizing that, you know, we're part of their tribe, we're part of their community. And you know, and they've been able to find New Hampshire on a map now, which is excellent. But, you know, like we've had Ishmael Bea, you know, I mean, his story was just resonated with kids and adults alike. And we were so happy. We had almost 300 people come to the store for that one.
Just remind us who he is. I know about it. But
oh,
yeah.
He wrote Long Way Gone. He was a child soldier and wrote a memoir. And now he's written a novel, Radiance of Tomorrow, which is also very fine. And he's just such a charismatic speaker and person. And, you know, just people have such an enormous affection for him. So we were so lucky to have him. And as Dan says, the publishers are just being great, especially about sending these authors to New England, where, you know, you can drive from store to store. You don't have to put the authors on an airplane. We're very well situated, you know, for that purpose.
Again, the phone number here in the Exchange for you to join us on our summer book show, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. We talked earlier about some of the top fiction books that you guys are selling. Any others, Dan Chartrand, that you want to put out there? Personally, given that my work is so fact-based, I love fiction. I mean, that's what I'm going to read in my own time.
Right. Well, we talked about Lily King's book. Another King, Owen King, has a great paperback novel out, double feature. There's several members of the staff at Water Street Bookstore, including myself, who've read this, love this book. It's a great sort of coming-of-age story that's set kind of as a college graduate, tries to work his way into the film industry and suffers a major reversal, but then kind of works his way out of it. It's a great book. Owen King is a great writer, comes from a lineage of great writers, and I love Double Feature by Owen King. So that's a great summer read, just out in paperback. Another great book, Herman Cook or Koch?
I think it's Koch.
Koch, okay. Herman Koch, another European author, just brought out his just published his second book, Summer House with Swimming Pool. Of course, his book, The Dinner, was a runaway bestseller. That's a little more intellectual, but still a great read, and definitely qualifies as a summer read.
Well,
so
sure.
Two.
Summer, pool, beach,
exactly.
All that. And there's another, a couple European authors making a splash this summer. And after break, Michael Herman, I'm going to ask you about a giant book by a European author.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
That a lot of people are buying. We'll also take your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. Join us on our summer book show on The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 919. Good morning. The Exchange is coming to the North Country. Join Laura Canoy and a panel of experts as they discuss the state of the Main Street economies north of the Notches. You can attend this special event at the Colonial Theater in Bethlehem July 10th. Reserve your tickets at nhpr.org. Made possible with support from the Neil and Louise Tillotson Fund. New Hampshire weather mostly cloudy with a chance of showers today. Cooler highs mid to upper 60s. Mostly cloudy tonight. Chance of showers. Tonight's lows in the low to mid 50s. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Dartmouth Hitchcock, primary care doctors and nurses who put you at the center of health. 13 locations statewide. Information at d-hdocs.org. And from Vineyard Brands, importers of Marcus de Caceres wines from the Rioja region of northern Spain. Information on the web at vineyardbrands.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual summer book show. As the warm weather finally arrives, we're looking at what's new this season in books suited for coming days at the beach or in the mountains, or even in your own backyard. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. What new books are you hoping to read this summer? What have you heard about that's caught your attention? Do you need a recommendation from our guests to find that perfect summer book? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. You can post a comment there. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, the number is 1-800-892-6477. So as I said, gentlemen, a couple European authors getting a lot of attention this year, including from you guys on your lists. And Michael Herman, there's a huge book by a French author
that's making a splash. Yeah, tell us about that one.
Huge splash. It's actually the fastest-selling bestseller in the history of Harvard University Press. It's a translation of a French book called Capital in the 21st Century by Thomas Piketty. And it was amazing to me because I'm no expert in economics, quite the contrary. But it was actually a classic in a technical field that I could read and enjoy. I mean, it's a little bit of a slow read. You have to pay close attention and make sure that you're understanding the concepts as you go. And sometimes you read in it, not cover to cover. You just kind of sample it and read in it and look around in it. But it's an excellent read. And I think everybody who's concerned about the state of society today really should read it. And it's impossible really to summarize, but the main thing is the financialization of the economy. In other words, when people just kind of playing around with money make so much more and their wealth is growing so much faster than people who actually make things, it leads to certain disruptions in society as well as in finance. And people, the rich get richer.
That's a hefty topic.
And the poor get poorer. It's a fascinating topic. He uses examples from classic literature to bolster his case. He's got tremendous amount of data. He uses contemporary culture. I think he quotes Mad Men to illustrate a point at one point. it's a book that really rewards a careful read. It's gonna, if you read it cover to cover, it might take a couple of weeks of your time, but it's summer.
Yeah, Thomas Piketty, Capital. It's about the roots of inequality.
Capital in the 21st Century. Yeah, very important work.
Well, it's a huge book. Is this selling well at your store, Dan?
Yeah, it's actually one of the few books that's really broken through the media noise and is selling broadly across all channels in the industry.
Yep.
It's a great topic. I mean, there's been a lot of focus on minimum wage and trying to get a minimum wage in several states, including New Hampshire. But I think what the author is really pointing out is that access to capital and the accretion of capital is really what determines success in this economy. And based on my experience as a bookseller for the past 30 some years, I think he's right on the beam here.
Wow, 30 years, huh?
Yeah.
It doesn't really fly with your usual image of a summer book. I mean, I think I was in your store the other day, Michael, and you had a little display, summer books, and it was all sort of beach.
This
is serious stuff.
Well, summer's also a time to, it's not only a time to kick back and relax and do kind of mindless, frothy things. You know, it's also a time when, sometimes you have vacation time. You know, you have time that otherwise you wouldn't have had during the rest of the year to really, like, delve into something, to do something substantial.
Right.
You
know, Dan.
This is the book you take to Chautauqua.
I'm not going to Chautauqua this year.
This is the summer improvement book.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is a beach book. This might be a book, beach house book.
Our phone number again on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Join us. It's our annual summer book show. Our guests are Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, and Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. The number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like. It's NHPR Exchange. All one word. And just before the show began, gentlemen, we got a couple comments on our Facebook page. Margaret wrote, "I'll be reading The Drunken Botanist for sure." Wow, Dan, that's a good title.
Yeah, it's a great great book. It's a follow-up to another book. The woman, I can't remember her name, but the woman who's written these books is writing about sort of plants, seeds, botany, and how they've influenced culture and our lives very directly. So it's a great recommendation for a summer read.
Liz also posted on Facebook, Michael, Frog Music by Emma Donahue and An Untamed State by Roxanne Gray. Thanks for those comments, Liz and Margaret. Any comments on Liz's recommendation?
The Emma Donahue book, Frog Music, has been selling very well. She's the author of The Room, which was a bestseller a couple of years ago and very popular book club choice.
All right. Again, you can join us with your thoughts, questions, comments on new summer books, 1-800-892-6477. Facebook, NHPR Exchange. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And I want to remind everybody that we're going to be putting on our website all the books that come up this hour, including Dan and Michael's lists of their favorites, but also just books that come up on our conversation. It'll be on our website as well as on Twitter. Here's an email that just came in. This person says, some mystery story recommendations. Michael? The Master of Mystery has a book out this year, Stephen King.
Stephen King, yeah. He's actually, he's written his first, it just hit yesterday, hit the front tables. It's his first mystery thriller, like a hard-boiled crime story. It's the first one he's written. He's written a zillion books. And, You know, Dan and I both agree about this. Stephen King just goes from strength to strength. He's a writer that may have been dismissed by you know, the intellectual snooty types earlier in his career. But in the last 5 years, he's caught on across all channels, and his writing just gets stronger and stronger. Dan and I are both fans of his, like, 11-22-63, his time travel story.
Which we talked about a couple years ago.
You know, and
yeah.
this one is, you know, a police officer, a detective who's trying to retire, but a killer that he didn't get, you know, late in his career, just sends him a letter congratulating him on his retirement.
Oh,
and
that's
says,
creepy.
You know, I'm retiring too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing yet. I've sampled it, and it looks really strong.
So, Dan, even though Stephen King is known for thrillers, I shouldn't call him a mystery writer. He's more known for horror or thriller, but now he is going mystery.
This new book is a mystery novel. Stephen King is going to be read for centuries to come. He's really a cross between Edgar Allan Poe and Charles Dickens. He is a classic American author. Someday he'll be collected in the Library of America.
He does a lot of things right. I mean, his short stories are very fine. His literary criticism is very fine. Anytime you see a book review with Stephen King on it, you want to read it because he's got just such sharp insights into other people's work as well.
And most importantly, Stephen King is a citizen of the publishing business. He reads widely. He supports other authors. He's a team player. I'm a great admirer of Stephen King. I think he does just about everything just right, including his writing. A couple books that we're recommending in the mystery genre.
Yeah, other mysteries for our emailer, sure.
Local author Brendan DuBois has a new Lewis Cole mystery, which is a huge – it's set on the seacoast of New Hampshire. This is the 8th Lewis Cole mystery. This book, Fatal Harbor, that he's just published is one of my favorite Lewis Cole's in recent times. The first two or three were wonderful. The subsequent books were wonderful as well. But this book, he's taken it back up to a level that he had at the beginning. There's some kind of freshness and zest to Fatal Harbor that I really like. So if you like the early Lewis Cole's, I would definitely look into Fatal Harbor by Brendan DuBois. And then another one, it's a little more of a time travel book. It's not so much of a mystery, although it has a mystery in it. New book just out that our bookseller Sarah Connell is recommending. It's called The First 15 Lives of Harry August by Claire North. Kind of a time travel mystery novel. So that's a good one.
I'm hearing the time travel theme a couple times from you gentlemen this morning.
It's a very popular
It's a theme that will never go away. New X-Men movie is very strong, too.
That's right.
I have a mystery that I'd like to recommend. The Norwegian writer, Joe Nesbø, who's best known for the Harry Hole series. This is a standalone book called The Sun. And his stuff, I mean, it's richly textured like Dickens, but, you know, and it's got all these great characters, you know, dense plot lines. But it's like popcorn reading this stuff. This is the story of a son who's in prison sort of atoning for the sins of his police officer father, who apparently hanged himself, but maybe he didn't. And so the son breaks out and starts looking for revenge.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Popcorn, meaning you just
you
keep
just can't
stuffing
stop.
It in my handful.
You can't stop. You can't stop reading. Yeah, yeah. So The Sun by Joe Nesbø is a very strong mystery.
All right. Well, to that person who wanted some mystery recommendations, there you go. And again, all of the books that come up during our conversation will be on the website, on Twitter. Let's go to the phones. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Bill's waiting in Rochester. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm presently reading Barbara Ehrenreich's book, Living with a Wild God. Again, this is more the beach house rather than the beach book.
Yep.
But it's really fascinating in that you have this atheist, scientist, rationalist writer, lifelong non-believer, if you want to call it that, who's reflecting on all these things. And apparently, I'm in the middle of it, so apparently feels there's something else. There is something else, whatever it is.
So, Bill, is this fiction or nonfiction?
I'm trying to find out what it is
you're
talking about. It's nonfiction.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Bill, because, you know, Barbara Ehrenreich, Michael, we think of her nickel and dime,
nickel
sort of doing
dime.
This serious economic analysis of the American
economy. She's an amazing
economy.
Writer, and now she's finally analyzing herself. She She's not only a proud atheist, she comes from a family of proud atheists, but all of a sudden she was looking through old journals and she found herself reading something she'd written when I think she was 12 years old about a three-day, I think, mystical experience that she had. And she just couldn't frame it. She couldn't put it in the context of how her life worked out. So she's trying to work out what this means in her life now. It's very interesting stuff.
I've heard about this, Dan. Yeah.
Well, I think the seeds of this book, there are hints of this book in her earlier work. You know, she's always written about her experience. So Nickel and Dimed was her experience working in the underbelly of the economy. So she's perfectly capable of writing about herself and always has. It's just now she's made the subject her inner life. And we've been selling this book very well. She has a great following from her earlier books, and she's continuing to evolve and transform and change in her subject matter. So
I met her at a Hachette cocktail party some months ago, and I was trying to find things to talk to her about, and the conversation was drifting a little bit until I said something like, I think self-esteem is just overrated. And she said, come sit by me.
That's a great story. And I love that Bill's picking up on something that you guys have said, that there's beach reading on the beach, you know, the light, fluffy, bodice ripper, mystery, whatever. And then there's beach house reading, where you're in the house, it's raining, you're on vacation, and you pick up, you know, some sort of more hefty, thinky book. So that's great. Thank you so much, Bill. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. So, Michael, you brought it up, so I'll ask you guys about it. Dan Chartrand, a lot of attention to Amazon and its fight with Hachette, a French publishing company. Amazon's now making books from this company super hard to get, and this has caused a big kerfluffle in your business.
Yeah, It's I mentioned earlier that, publishers think of independent booksellers as part of their tribe. And the suspicion now, even though Amazon offers a lot of convenience to the public, they're not really of the tribe. What they're most interested in really is the disruption of the way people have done business before and, to their own benefit. And they'll say it's to the benefit of customers, and those concepts kind of elide. But people sometimes think of the word disrupt as always a positive value. Well, I'm disrupting this tired old business, this way of doing things. But what people forget is that the most powerful disruptor in retail today is Walmart. It's not Amazon. I mean, Walmart is the one that disrupted. And so every bad thing that people sometimes think about Walmart, that's disruption too. So disruption is not always positive. And what Amazon is trying to do is, they've kind of crossed the line, and I'll tell you why. Your retailers get to choose what they stock, and Amazon is choosing what they stock. But one thing no retailer, no bookstore owner would do is say, I can take that special order, but it's going to take me a few weeks to fill it, and maybe you should go down the street, or here's something else that you might want. We're going to take that special order, and no matter who published it, even if it's Amazon, certainly we're going to try to fill that order as quickly as possible to benefit the customer. So, Amazon's kind of jumped the shark here, in our opinion.
Yeah, Dan, go ahead, and then I got a stack of emails I want to go through.
I'm all for, disrupting tradition where tradition is hidebound and not helpful. But there is one tradition in our business, the publishing business, which I don't think it's helpful to disrupt. At its best, the publishing industry stewards intellectual property, the creation of intellectual property, and then brings it to market in an efficient way. And I do not think that Amazon is in the tradition, in that great tradition of the publishing industry. And I think it's clear by how they're handling their negotiations with Hachette, which is only the beginning, by the way, that they are not in the tradition of stewarding intellectual property and ideas and bringing it to market. So that's what I'll say about that.
All right. Well, again, the number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Lots of emails, gentlemen. I'd like to share a couple of them with you. Here's one from Robin. Your guests neglected to mention that the Thomas Piketty book is also energetically criticized and challenged by various experts. The objections range from concept to data to methodology. Your guests are free to champion the Piketty thesis and promote the readability, but it would be good at least to acknowledge that there's also contention. Robin, thank you for that. Dan, your thoughts?
Let's discuss. I'm all for dialogue and debate.
There's certainly been a lot of pushback on it, but I mean, as far as I can tell, they haven't really laid much of a glove on him, to be honest.
Okay. Well, Robin, thank you. And when you talk about something controversial like inequality, the roots, and so forth, there are bound to be disagreements. So I appreciate the email. Here's Jim. He says, I'm looking for some books to recommend for my young teenagers this summer. I've been hearing a lot of good things about The Luck Uglies. Recommended reading? Thanks, Jim, for the email. And Dan Chartrand, to you.
Actually, Paul Durham, the author of The Luck Uglies, is an Exeter resident. He's left the law business, and he's decided to become a middle grade and young adult author. So, yes, The Luck Uglies is a great read, anywhere from 8 up. Eight years old up, it's sort of a fantastic story with a young woman as the protagonist, and we've done very well with this book, obviously.
Well, and this is one of the few that there's overlap on your lists,
right,
which, as I've mentioned a couple times, are on our website. Do you want to talk a little bit about The Luck Uglies, too,
yeah,
Michael?
Yeah, he's a local author. I think he's a lawyer, right? And he has a practice,
right,
I think, in Manchester, so he's New Hampshire-wide. And, you know, this is fantasy adventure. It's the first in a trilogy, apparently, as they all seem to be, you know, which is great because it gives kids something to look forward,
sure,
to. And it gives writers a chance to stretch because sometimes you can't fit all your great ideas into one book. So, yeah, we're selling a lot of this. He's going to be at Gibson's tomorrow, Thursday the 5th at 5 o'clock.
Well, I'm glad, Jim, you emailed about young readers because that's a personal interest of mine as well. And I got a question for you, Dan. Why does it seem that everything for teens, or almost everything, is still post-apocalyptic? You know, The Hunger Games came out a long time ago, and we're still talking about this sort of dystopian bad world.
Well, the dystopian theme is definitely strong. A lot of young adult readers and adult readers who started with things like the Hunger Games, they want more, and that's wonderful. But there's so much more out there. The best-selling young adult book right now is Fault in Our Stars, which is about to release as a major motion picture that's going to be everywhere. And this is – Fault in Our Stars is sort of the story of a young woman who is very, very ill, and she's in a relationship with a young man, and there's this – you know, tragic sort of story that's playing out. There's a book that's out about Esther Earle, who was the young woman that was sort of the model for the character in Fault in Our Stars. And it's called The Star Won't Go Out. And it's actually the sort of the true backstory behind Fault in Our Stars. And we're recommending it very highly to anyone that's loved Fault in Our Stars. That is the best-selling young adult book right now.
Okay, well, a
and it's
bit
not
more
post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've got one who likes that and one who doesn't. So it's good to know there's more out there. I'll ask you too, Michael, in just a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, questions about the return of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. Then the story of a man who untangles the truth about his biological father. All coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
This morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers across New Hampshire today. Cooler, too, with high temperatures mid to upper 60s. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Nathan Wexler and Company, professionals working together as a team to provide businesses and nonprofits comprehensive accounting and tax solutions, offices in Concord and Lebanon. And the City of Claremont, information about Claremont's economic development initiatives and business relocation at ClaremontNH.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our annual summer book show. We're getting a look at some of the best reads to take on vacation with you this summer, or just to while away some hours in your own backyard. The number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. If you need a recommendation from our guests, give us a call or send us an email. Or if you've got some new books, new authors that are catching your attention, we'd like to hear about that. The number 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. Our guests are Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, and Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And gentlemen, before we go back to our listeners, Michael, I did want to ask you also about young adult, teen fiction.
Sure.
Dan talked about, yes, post-apocalyptic is still big, but if that's not your thing, there's other stuff out there as well.
Well, yeah. As with Dan's store, the biggest selling YA stuff at Gibson's by far is John Green. And it's not just Fault in Our Stars. It's all of his other books, too, Looking for Alaska and all the rest. And the thing about the John Green, I was talking to my wife Becky about this morning, and she said, you know, the characters are just so vivid. They're the kinds of, if you're an adult, they're the kinds of kids you remember really liking when you were a kid. And if you're a kid, they're the kind of kids you want to be or you want to hang out with. Just so vivid and funny and intelligent without being, you know, hyper-intellectual, just smart kids. And when bad things happen to them, it breaks your heart as a reader.
And because you care about these
you
people.
You care about them. And so that's not dystopian. That's not fantasy at all. Unfortunately, it's all too real, and kids also respond to that. Now, that said, there are still some, you know, kids still love this dystopian stuff, the Hunger Games stuff, very strong. There's a local author named Aaron Bowman who's written a couple of books called Taken and Frozen, who's done a good job with that. It's sort of reminiscent of the Hunger Games and The Giver. And Adi Rule, Rebecca Rule's daughter, has just published a YA novel called Strange Sweet Song, which is about fantasy and magic and danger and gothic settings and music and all kinds of other fun stuff that kids will also enjoy.
All right. Let's go back to our listeners. And again, 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Roland's calling from New Ipswich. Hi, Roland. You're on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thank you. I just, when I heard you talking about Piketty, there's a book that's written by Elizabeth Warren called A Fighting Chance, and I'm surprised what a good writer she is. It's almost a memoir, but then it gets into the political battles around the haves and the have-nots, and I think it's really good reading for getting ready to vote.
Okay, Roland, thanks for the recommendation. I think I saw this in your store the other day, Michael.
Sure. Yeah, she's a strong writer, and you know she's been portrayed as a radical. But honestly, you know, in times like these, I think you know having common sense is the most radical thing of all, and that's what she's really known for. I've been a fan of her writing since she wrote a book called The Two Income Trap about 10 years ago, and it just made so much sense to me. That, you know, I mean, even at the time, I was thinking, boy, it's too bad this woman isn't in the Senate. You know, I guess that was political. Sorry. This is a book show. Sorry.
I've gone back and I'm rereading a book from 2008 about Frances Perkins, who was Franklin Roosevelt's labor secretary. Great book. I recommend it. It's not a new book. It's not necessarily a summer read. But I think of Elizabeth Warren as our era's Frances Perkins. She's worked as a government functionary, and now she's jumped. Unlike Frances Perkins, she's jumped to the political side, and more power to her. I think what she brings to the debate stretches us and allows us to consider all the alternatives on the political spectrum. So,
you know, we were talking about young adult earlier, and I did want to ask you, Dan, about another trend in young adult, and that's more diversity in young adult fiction. We did a show on millennials a week or so ago. This is the most diverse generation ever in America, and that's finally being reflected in young adult fiction.
Absolutely. We have a great middle grade up to young adult book called The Great Green Heist, Saving the School One Con at a Time. And it's actually been listed on a website called We Need Diverse Books. It's in a publishing initiative. Some younger people, when I say younger, 20s and 30s.
People who know how to use hashtags.
Exactly.
yeah.
Unlike Michael and I.
Yeah.
they've started an initiative called We Need Diverse Books, and they've actually highlighted some titles in the middle grade and young adult field that have characters of varying backgrounds. And this is really important in our society as we become a more diverse society. So we're very much at Water Street Bookstore, and I'm sure at Gibson's as well. We're four square behind this initiative by some great young people in our industry to lobby for more diverse characters.
Yeah, and not just as sidekicks. You know, I mean, that's been the problem in the past. You know, some books are superficially, they look diverse but in content, but really the the main character is the traditional white male character, and there's nothing wrong with that. But why not books that that have other dynamics going on?
All right. Well, let's take another call if we could. And Andrew's waiting in Keene. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm a huge fan of fantasy, especially sometimes dark fantasy, but the problem I have these days is that, especially with Game of Thrones and how big that is that they seem to kill the characters off constantly. Is there a good series you could recommend that has good characters that they aren't trying to just, you know, whack them off?
Andrew, that's great. And I've had a similar feeling, you know, why do they have to kill everybody who I like? Go ahead, Dan.
Well, you know, off the top of my head, I don't have a recommendation, but I'd love to throw this out to the audience pitch into the conversation through the website and through email. I think we can crowdsource this pretty well.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, but certainly George Martin, he really seems to enjoy killing off the characters that he's made you love. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, and is it Ann Patchett? Is that who it is? She did that in one of her books a couple years ago, and it really made me mad because I spent, 3 days falling in love with these people, and then she killed them all off at the end. So I hear your complaint, Andrew. Thank you for calling in, and maybe we can get some ideas going on our website, nhpr.org, or our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. As you go there and you see all the books that have been talked about this hour, including our guests' recommendations, maybe you can also help Andrew out, a sort of fantasy-type book where not everybody that you end up liking is killed in the end. Thanks, Andrew, for the call. Let's take another one. This is Mary in Tamworth. Hi, Mary. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Hi. I wanted to say that one of my favorite books I read a few weeks ago, the biography of Penelope Fitzgerald, who's one of my favorite novelists. It's by Hermione Lee. It's a very good biography. It's by an English publisher, Chatto and Windus, but it's possible for American booksellers to get it. And I can't say enough good things about it. Penelope Fitzgerald's life was quite tragic and difficult, and she managed to write exquisite novels in spite of this. And so it's an extraordinarily inspiring story of a brilliant and heroic woman.
Okay, Mary, thank you. And biographies in general, popular for the summer, Michael.
Well,
she said Michael and looked at Dan, folks, just saying.
Great suggestion, by the way, from the caller. I'll counterpunch with Joanna Rakoff's My Salinger Year. Joanna's a great writer. But at the beginning of her career in the late 90s, she worked in a old-time literary agent's office that was very kind of throwback to the 50s. And it was J.D. Salinger's literary agent. And she ended up being in charge of the correspondence with the fans, because obviously Mr. Salinger was no longer corresponding with his fans. So his literary agent kind of stepped in. And form letters were going out to all these fans. And she became drawn in by how the fans and the readers of Mr. Salinger's work were so engaged with it. And she couldn't keep sending out the form letters. She started sending out actual correspondence. And it
cross-checked by him, it sounds like.
No, she was not under anyone's supervision. And it birthed her as a writer. And so she's written this wonderful memoir of this time in her life at the very beginning of her writing career, called My Salinger Year. It's a delightful memoir, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Other biographies, Michael?
Well, before I get to that, speaking of Salinger, I should talk about a novel that's just come out in paperback called And Sons, and it's an ampersand Sons. The reason for that is there's a notoriously reclusive author named A.N. Dyer, who's based sort of a J.D. Salinger figure, who is recluse until he suffers a very public breakdown at the funeral of a friend, and he gathers his sons around him, and they have a whole, let's just say that if you like the family dynamics in Jonathan Franzen's The Corrections, or if you like Claire Massoud's Emperor's Children, you know, this is the novel for you to take to the beach. It just came out in paperback, so it can be the beach instead of the beach house.
Wow, a father and his sons looking back and kind of like hashing through it all.
Like a, you know, that's what the Brothers Karamazov was, right? It's it's kind of that sort of dynamic, and it's got pretty much, not to give anything away, but not an entirely reliable narrator, so it's got that going for it, too. It's one of those.
Yeah. Other biographies that you want to recommend? People like to sometimes pick up a hefty biography. Well,
there's a memoir. If you love dysfunctional families, and who doesn't? Take This Man is a memoir by Brando Skyhorse, which, as you can imagine, as with Augustine Burroughs, this is a man who changed his name as soon as he could. It's a totally dysfunctional family story. Mother, you know, misled the children about their ethnic background, you know, and
that's right. She said we're Native American, and
right.
It turned out they weren't.
They
grew
not.
Up with this narrative, and it turned out not to be true.
The narrative turned out not to be true. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so if you're a fan of like Augustine Burroughs or Jeanette Walls, this is a great summer read for you.
Let's take another call if we could. Thank you for that one. Let's go to Gerald in Marlborough. Hi, Gerald. You're on The Exchange. Welcome to the Summer Book Show.
Thanks, Laura. I just happened to pick up a book in a local bookstore sometime last week, and it's become kind of de facto the first summer read for me. And I thought I'd mention it is by a local author, Katrina Kennison. And the title is Magical Journey, seems to be, my first thought was midlife crisis memoir, but it's more like about a two-thirds of the way through memoir. She's a woman whose sons go off to college, and she finds herself no longer an everyday hands-on mom. A friend passes away, she finds herself kind of at loose ends, and undertakes, as I'm getting it, I'm only partway through, kind of a quest in place for new meanings.
So an empty nester book, Gerald.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, and a situation that a lot of people find themselves in. Dan?
I worked with Katrina Kennison at Houghton Mifflin in the late 80s. She was
She
was a brilliant editor. She and her husband, Steve Lures, who also worked at Houghton, now live in southwest New Hampshire. She is a dynamic new author who works in the field of memoir. And this latest book, her third memoir, is a wonderful it's a book about a spiritual quest. And she's such a brilliant writer. She stewarded so many great writers when she was an editor. And now she is a great writer as well. And she's one of New Hampshire's own. So I would recommend that book highly and thank the caller for mentioning it.
Well, and on your list of recommended reads for the summer, Dan, you also have a self-published book.
I do. Self-publishing is a very important trend in our industry. For those authors who cannot kind of break through and get their books stewarded by a publisher, self-publishing is a viable option. I chose this as my favorite or our bookstore's favorite self-published book because this is an author, Barbara Bates Sidorek, who took the time to hire a designer and to work through and develop her intellectual property in the most thorough way. And I can't recommend this book highly enough for people who are thinking about self-publishing to look at as an example of how to do it. The book is The Lasting Matters Organizer. Barbara Bates Sidorek is a former paralegal who has decided to start a company helping people organize their lives and how they want to end their lives for their family in this book. It's a gorgeous book.
It's kind of a how-to book, but about a very profound subject.
It's a workbook that you work through to organize all your personal information and your last wishes. It's beautiful. The book is beautifully done. It takes a subject that's very difficult for people to grapple with, and the design, which is by a local Seacoast designer, Mary Johanna Brown, and her company, Brown & Company. But Barbara and her team have put together a gorgeous book that I can't recommend highly enough. It's the kind of book that you would give for Mother's Day or Father's Day or for graduation. It's really, we will all die at some point, and we all need to work through a book like this, hopefully this one, I think, to organize our lives for our loved ones so that they don't have to struggle when we pass.
Yeah, it's hard enough when someone dies, and it's nice to have all that information.
I can't recommend this book highly enough as a great book for individuals, but also as a great example of how to self-publish a book.
Okay, and Linda on our Facebook page said, I just finished American Crucifixion by Alex Beam. I'd love a recommendation for another historical book in the same vein. Now, we interviewed American Crucifixion by Alex Beam. We interviewed Alex on The Exchange at the end of May. This is about the Mormon Church, right, Michael?
I believe it is, yeah. I have not read it myself. The history that we're recommending is Bill Bryson's book, which has just dropped in paperback. It's not really like Alex Beam's book, but if you're looking for a good book on history, Bryson's always a go-to writer. He's vibrant. He's
funny.
Chatty. He's funny, but he's a great historian and a very good writer. He does his research. Here he's written about the year 1927. It's just one summer that had so much going on. You know, it had Babe Ruth, Charles Lindbergh, Henry Ford, Sacco and Vanzetti were executed. You know, it was an incredible year. And in Bryson's hands, it's very entertaining. So that's the work of history that we expect the most of this summer.
And an interesting period of time. People still exhausted from World War I and trouble brewing.
Yankees
in
had a good team. You know, it was a different time.
What about Alex Beam? This was a great interview.
Yeah, it's a great recommendation by the emailer. Your audience has done a great job today. I want to congratulate them. Thank you for joining the conversation. The Alex Beam book is called American Crucifixion, subtitled The Murder of Joseph Smith and the Fate of the Mormon Church. It's a book that really talks about what should have been the end of the Latter-day Saint movement, but instead became the transforming moment of that movement. Joseph Smith was the founder and guiding light of the Latter-day Saint movement as they trekked across to the middle of the country. And in the end, that moment became what really gave vitality. So Alex Beam is a writer for The Globe. He's done a gorgeous job with this book. It's a very complex events that took place, and he's handled it with great care and great writing.
Well, and I've got half a dozen emails and Facebook comments that we didn't even get to, other recommendations. We'll make sure those get on our website, nhpr.org. Michael and Dan's recommendations will be there as well, and the books that came up during our conversation this hour. And Michael and Dan, boy, it's been just great to see you. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful summer.
Thank you very much, Laura. You too. And I just want to say happy birthday, Diane.
Okay.
My mother-in-law. Hi, Diane.
Thank you, Laura. And I just urge the listeners to keep the conversation going on the NHPR website and Facebook page. There's nothing better than good book talk. Keep it going.
All right. Dan Chartrand, Water Street Books, Michael Herman, Gibson's Books in Concord. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, how do we talk about race? After racist remarks by Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling and Wolfboro Police Commissioner Robert Copeland, outrage dominated the national headlines and both men were widely reprimanded. But some say merely criticizing and dismissing such comments isn't enough, that we need a candid conversation about race relations. Send us your thoughts by email or Facebook and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Diane Rehm Show next at 10 on New Hampshire Public Radio. New Hampshire weather, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers today, cooler. Highs mid to upper 60s. Mostly cloudy tonight. Chance of showers, lows in the low to mid 50s. And mostly cloudy. Chance of showers tomorrow. High temperatures mid 60s. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Birchill Terrace, a not-for-profit continuing care retirement community offering independent living, assisted living, and nursing care in Manchester. BirchillTerrace.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO, Concord, 89.1.
WEVS, Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH, Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN, Keene, 90.7.
WEVC, Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ, Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF, Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ, Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. In exchange for the release of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, the U.S. agreed to free five Taliban commanders from detention at Guantanamo. Bergdahl was the last U.S. soldier in captivity. He was held by the Taliban for nearly 5 years.